All right, we are winding down to get ready for the Schwenke meetings. I hope that you have made yourself available to hand out tracts. They're on the back table as we leave. Grab a handful and hand them out. It may bring you outside your comfort zone, but with God, all things are possible. Amen? So do that and watch and see what God will do. All right, we're going to talk about something today that is going right along with that theme, and that's trying to win the lost. Amen? And I guess I've entitled this, What If They Don't Listen? Have you ever been afraid to witness to somebody and you think, what if they don't listen? What if they make fun of me? I've been there. It's like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? This is what we do. In Mark 16, 15, and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So God wants us to go into the world and to do what? Preach the gospel. I don't know what to say. It's very simple. Jesus loves you, and he died for your sins. And then see what happens. Sometimes you have an open door. Sometimes you have a closed door. Well, let's pray, okay? Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have the freedom that we have in this country to freely worship you today. We pray for our country. We pray for Israel and ask God your hand to be upon them. Be with those that are protecting Israel and Jerusalem. Keep them safe, Lord, from harm's way. We pray for our beloved Pastor Meter as he's in Peru. And ask God that you would help him to get the needed oxygen that he needs into his blood system, and pray that they would that he would be used by you as he brings forth the gospel in Spanish. Pray for Levi that this trip that he's on with his grandpa would change his life. God, help him to come back a different kid. Help him to have a real, just do a work in him, God. We thank you for this time. Pray as we preach the word here that you would have it to fall on ground that would it would be cultivated and it would bring forth fruit. So we ask your blessing now on the word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so why should we go? Because God told us to go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Where's all the world? Everywhere you go. It's the whole world. I did not want to go to Peru. I've been trying to learn Spanish for 3 years now, and I can't have a conversation with anybody because I forget the words. So I have a hard time with that, and I'm thinking, I'll pray for Pastor Meter to let him go. But God sends all of us to different places. We all go to grocery stores. Sometimes you have chances to minister in grocery stores. Sometimes you have chances to minister at work. Sometimes you have chances to minister in your family. Sometimes when people are going through hard times, they know that you're a Christian, whether they be friends or relatives or associates at work. And they will look to you for spiritual guidance. And that's what God wants us to do. I've said probably 1,000 times that we're people look at us and I hope that they see Jesus in me. And it's the same thing for each and every one of us. In Matthew 5:14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." Don't hide your Christianity. Put it right out there. And live it, you know. Don't send a double message. You know, sometimes you run across the Christian who they're like a chameleon. When they're with Christians, they're all Christian-y, right? They talk Christian-y. They talk about prayer. They talk about the Bible. They talk about God. And then all of a sudden, you run into them, and they're with worldly people, and they're changing their colors. Listen, God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to be firm and fit and ready to do what he wants us to do, and that's to be a light in a dark world. This world has got no choice, no chance of getting better other than us Christians impacting their life with God. I don't know about you, but I know in my life, when I got saved, it was a radical change. Things happened, and I couldn't understand it. I didn't know anything about the Bible, and God wants us to be that radical in a world that wants nothing to do with God. All right? All right, so let's see here. We're going to look at Luke chapter 8. If you want to start there, we're going to jump around. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower. It's the first of seven parables. It's found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. And then it's also found in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And then lastly, it is found in Luke 8, 4 through 15. And in Luke 8, 8, if you have your Bible open there, the tail end of that verse, it says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, there's another place in the Bible that talks about if we have ears to hear, let us hear. And it's in the book of Revelation. We need to be on point and listen to what God wants us to hear. And this here is very pointed. And as we look through this and see this parable, it says, let him hear. So I trust that as you sit in church today, that you will listen to what God is trying to tell us. And he wants you to hear. What's he want you to hear? Hang on, you'll figure it out, okay? All right, what's the definition of a parable? Years ago, over in the other building, I taught my first Sunday school class, and I had little guys. I had the boys that were probably 8 to 12 years old, somewhere in that area. And so I was teaching on something, and I asked, I says, any of you guys know what a parable is? And all of a sudden, one of the guys in the back jumped up. Whew! His hand went up in the air, and he said, I know what it is. His name was Thomas French. I'll never forget this guy. He was just quiet, never said anything. He said, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I said, how did you learn that? He said, my dad told me. And every time we talked about a parable, I would always pick on him. Tom, what's a parable? Boom, and he'd give me, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's what we're going to look at today is one of the first parables of the seven that is mentioned in the scriptures, and it's the parable of sowing. How many of you have a garden? There's a lot of gardens right now, right? And if you let them get out of control, we have a lot of weeds. I found that to be true. But in order to have a garden, you have to sow it. You have to put your seed in out there and all this and that, or anything. If you want a good lawn, you have to sow the seed. And we're going to talk about that today. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1, let's get a background of what's going on here. We're going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we're going to move over to the book of Mark. Luke 8, chapter 8, in verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And a certain woman, which had healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom was seven devils, and Jonah, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others with ministered unto him of their substance. So we see here, the backstory here is that Jesus was just starting to go out and have a public ministry. And he was going to every city and village in verse number 1, and he was preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. So he was out teaching. If you go over to Mark chapter number 4, we're going to see this same parable, but we're going to look at it in a different view. Chapter 4, in verses 1 and 2. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now that's kind of confusing, but this is what happened. Jesus, there were so many people that he couldn't reach them all because of the situation. All the people were there. So he got into a ship and he was pushed out, and it was in the Galilean Sea, in an area where it was almost like an amphitheater. And as he was sitting in this ship, it's important that you realize why he was sitting. In the Jewish culture at that time, a teacher would sit down and teach. Now, I don't know how they do it in BBA. I would imagine you have times when you sit and teach. For those of you who are teachers, I'm sure there's times when you're at the blackboard and you do that, teach at the blackboard, and so probably you teach one-on-one. But Jesus sat down in the ship and he started this parable, and he was trying to teach them something. Okay, he's trying to teach us something as well today, isn't he? And we're going to look at this. In verse number 2, and he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine. So here we see that Jesus taught in parables. There's many times when you and I as Christians can teach unbelievers in parables. The reason I think God uses parables is that because this book is a spiritual book, amen? And as somebody who's not saved, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them, when they go to read this book, they don't interpret it properly. And God used parables to show them some of the things what this and that means, all right? And I've been in situations where I was talking with Will earlier about when I was in the prison ministry. There was many times when I would use parables so that the inmates would understand what I was talking about. It'd be great to give them all of this doctrine, but boom, it'd go right over their head. They didn't understand it. So I would try to teach in parables. Why do we need to teach in parables? Well, Jesus taught in parables. Amen? So if he did it, we should too. That's the way I think. It just makes it easier to understand. All right, we're going to move now over to Matthew chapter 13. In verses 3, all right, he spake many of these things in the parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So, again, we have, from then to now, we have different culture, because when we think of sowing, we go out to Michigan quite frequently, and we've been there in harvest time, we've been there in the middle of the summer when things are growing, we've been there in springtime when they're sowing. And out there, everything is flat. They have these big things that come up and dig the dirt up, and then they come through with tractors, and they'll have a area maybe as wide as this building that they're dragging and they're putting seeds in. And that's how we sow now. But in biblical times, the way they sowed was they just, sowed. They walked like this, and they threw seeds out everywhere. And the ground that they were working on, the ground was not already dug up. The ground was usually leased to a farmer. The landowner would take a certain plot of land and say, we'll use this auditorium as an example. If this was the ground that the landowner had, he would take this amount over here and where these chairs are. Say Doug Getty was sowing over here. And he would lease that to Doug Getty. And Doug Getty would walk through the area, and he would sow, all right? And then over here was a pathway. Usually the paths were about 3 foot wide, and the pathways were where everybody was walking in and out of the fields and taking care of their crops. And the pathways would be here, over there, and over there. And then over here, say we have another, say Kenny Barr, this is your farm area that you leased, and you walk through and you sow, okay? And so this is the plot of a garden in biblical times. They didn't dig up the dirt. They just threw the seeds out. And where they landed, that's where they landed. Now, I wouldn't try that today, I guess. But anyway, all right, moving on. So, we're going to look at a couple different things here. And the first thing we want to look at, there's four different responses to sowing. And this is what we're going to look at. And number one, the sower is the Son of God. All right, God went out and he sowed to the world. All right, what was he sowing? He was sowing that he is the Messiah. He is the payment for sin. Years ago, if you've been saved for a while, there was a time in your life where you realized that Jesus Christ, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is not a way. He is the way. And when I came to a decision in my life that somebody showed me that he was the way, I had to make a decision. What am I going to do with this thing that Jesus had done for me? And praise the Lord, I accepted him. I trust today, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've done that very thing. You've accepted his payment for your sin. Amen? And so he was trying to explain this to them using this thing of sowing. Now, the enemy of Christ as the Son of God, the sower, is the devil. The devil is after God. He's been after God since he got kicked out of heaven. And he was, the whole time Jesus, when he was born, he was trying to kill him then. And he went on and on and on, all different ways trying to kill him. In verse number 4, and when the sower, and when he sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. So one of the first things we see is that the fowls come. I'm getting ahead of myself. The seed is the word of God, all right? What does the word of God do? It helps me as a new believer when I first got saved. It helped me to learn and realize what God wanted from me. What does God want from each one of us that names the name of Christ? He says, be ye what? Holy, for I'm holy. God wants us to be holy. So we have to, it's like clearing a computer out. You dump all of the garbage and you reboot it with the word of God. And that's what God wants us to do. He said we need to sow the word of God. Now, the enemy of the word of God is what? The flesh. My flesh wants to do what my flesh wants to do. And it's usually not the will of God. It's usually what I want to do. I want to do this. I want to do that. You may want to do this. You may want to do that. But if God says that it is not worth doing, it's wrong, it's called sin. Amen? And God wants us to get away from the sinful stuff and have good fruit. In order to do that, we need to let the Word of God permeate into our inner being, and it will change you from the inside out. Now, if we were to line three or four different people up here, you would be hard-pressed to find who's the Christian. Because we all look alike. We have hair, we have ears, we have two hands, two arms. We look like people. But God doesn't look at the outward. He looks at the inside. He looks at what's going on inside of you. He looks at your heart. And the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Right? God knows it. And God wants us to change our heart. Listen, you may be in here today and you say, I've never heard this. The first time I heard it, I pondered on it for quite a while. And finally, somebody had come along and told me the whole deal, and I understood it. And I had to make a decision on it. If you've never made a decision on Jesus Christ, maybe today is your day. Don't go out the door the same way you come in with a stony, hard heart. Go out with a new heart, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit in you. In order to do that, you need to come to Christ and ask him to do what? Save you from the penalty of your sin. The penalty of each one of our sins would put us right in hell. And God would be fair about that. If he hung me over hell before I was saved and I died, and I would have split hell wide open. Because I was undone. I was dead. Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. All right, so the flesh is the enemy. Like natural seeds have life in itself, so does the seed of, the seed of the gospel. You know, when I started my garden this year, I always take my seeds and I sometimes put them in a damp paper towel, and I get them wet, and then I put them in a baggie, and I don't know if my wife knows this, but I hide them under the refrigerator, you know, where under the grate, under there, and I try to get them warm so that they'll start to germinate. And inside of that seed, there's life. That seed would all of a sudden, you'll pop out a little guy, and then two leaves will start, and then I can put it into the soil. And this is what happens to us as believers. God starts that with just a little seed. The next thing, it produces fruit. God's word will not return unto him void. We should, as Christians, produce fruit. What do I mean? I mean that what we do for Christ, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but what you do for Christ will last for eternity. I was thinking, as the pianists were playing up here, I don't know if they realized, but that's going to last for eternity. You realize, Crystal, you may be playing in heaven someday? Praise the Lord. You never know. Things that we do last for eternity. When you help somebody with no strings attached, you want to do it for the glory of God, That will last for eternity. A lot of people, Christian people, miss the boat. And they rob themselves of blessings. Listen, things done in secret are going to be shouted throughout the realms of glory. And we need to focus on that. The next thing is, it has to be sown. It has to be cultivated and it has to be watered in order to produce fruit. So as these seeds are sown, they change the whole area around them. And that's the same thing that we should do. We should be changing the area around us. When people see you at work, do they think that, man, there's something different about you? You know, what's up with this person? When your family sees you and hears you, and sees as you mature in the Lord that you're not the same person you used to be. We're different now. I had something happen to me Monday. I had a guy that I used to work with. I just retired permanently. I'm not working anymore. Praise the Lord. Can I get a praise the Lord? Amen. But I'm not working. And one of the guys that I worked with, I don't know, probably 8 years, he's one of the technicians. He had posted something on Facebook that he was going in for heart surgery and I don't know if I'm going to make it out alive, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, it cut me right to the heart. And I'm thinking, man, I got to talk to him. I got to talk to him. Well, Monday was my lawn mowing day. And when I mow the lawn, it takes me 3 hours. And then I weed whack. This is the first time I weed whacked in a long time. I don't like weed whacking. Anyway, I'm driving my tractor and I'm talking to the Lord and I have my headphones on and I'm listening to gospel music and the Lord's telling me you gotta call him, you gotta call him, and I'm arguing with the Lord. What do I tell him? You know, he knows what I think. He knows this. He knows that. And he says you gotta call him. You gotta call him. So finally, I'm getting down to where I got a weed whack. I said, all right, Lord, I'm gonna weed whack. And I don't like weed whacking, but I was just putting off, trying to talk God out of having me call him. So I weed whack, and I was like, all right, now I'm done. And then all of a sudden, I have this urge in my heart, I got to call this guy. Oh, okay. So I prayed. I said, God, I don't know what to say, right? I don't know what to say. Called him up, and I said, Shawnee. He goes, Ray. He had me on ID, I guess. So I started talking with him. The short story here is that he knows where I stood. He knows because I was different than the other guys at work. They would talk foul. I didn't. They would listen to things they shouldn't. I would walk away. And I said, Sean, what happens if you don't make it off the table? He was going in for a heart valve. He says, I hope I go to heaven. And I said, you can know. Anyway, I prayed with him, and I prayed for his operation, and then I went back and talked with him some more, and I said, wouldn't you like to know right now? And anyway, he got saved. Praise the Lord. But my flesh, there was apprehension. I didn't want to call him. I didn't know if he'd be mad at me. And listen, if God put somebody on your heart, just do what God's telling you to do. It's so much easier. You know, I had 3 hours of fighting with God about it, you know, and God always wins, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. All right, so the word is powerful. Amen? How many got a Bible in your hands? This is a powerful book, isn't it? I mean, it's powerful. It'll change you from the inside out. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you interact with other people. It changes us. And, you know, you think of a seed, and a seed is powerful. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I have this in my driveway. I was walking down to the mailbox the other day, and I was looking, and I have down the bottom of my driveway, I have a pine tree, and this pine tree grew out under my fence. I have a stockade fence, and then in my driveway, I have these two big bumps now, and it all started with a seed, a pine cone, and this tree grew. It grew underneath the asphalt, and it popped the asphalt up. I don't know if you've ever tried to put a shovel under asphalt and pop it up. It doesn't work. But a seed is powerful. It popped up the asphalt. And praise the Lord, I took care of that last year, but there's still a bump there. I got a big buzz saw, cut saw, and cut through the asphalt, cut the roots out, and dragged them out. And got them out from under there, but it's powerful. And seeds are powerful. How many times have you seen seeds push up a sidewalk and grass start growing out or weeds start growing out? It's powerful. And this word is powerful if you let it work inside of you. It will change you. So the word's powerful. Let's see. The soil is the heart of man. That's where the seed's going to go. Let's see, verse number 4 here of Matthew chapter 13. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, some fowls came and devoured them, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. In verse 4, it says that they were sown on the wayside, and the birds devoured them. Remember our garden. We laid out the garden here in church, right? And this is Getty's garden over here, and this is Kenny's garden over here. And these were the pathways there, here, and here. And these were the pathways that everybody walked on, and the ground was packed down. There was no weeds on them because of the traffic on them took the weeds away. And when the seeds got broadcast, they fell on hard ground. I had a guy yesterday, I work in a food bank, and I had this guy that I knew from years ago, and he's always riding in the back seat of this car, and he always rolls the window down, and he sticks his head out, and he gives me a hard time about being a Christian. And I always tell him, I said, brother, you got it. I didn't say brother. I said, you got to realize what's going to happen to you. I don't care. This guy is hard. He's like the path. I throw seed out there, and the birds come and take it away. His heart is hard. Have you ever run into somebody with a hard heart? I was telling Will earlier that for 22 years as a prison chaplain, I ran into all kinds of different people. And I've ran into some people with some really pretty hard hearts. I mean, you know Doug, right? I mean, they're hard as nails. What do you do? Keep preaching the word. I had a guy, first time he came in prison one time, he was hard-hearted, and I could see it on his face. I'd look at him, and he'd just scowling at me. I'd give him a smile. Glad you came. Yeah. Off he went. This went on for 3 months, and now I have a little better rapport with him. I had a better rapport with him. He got better and better as we went along. And I told him one night, I said, I'm praying for you. Don't waste your time. I said, I don't care. I'm praying for you. And anyway, finds out he got hurt by a Christian somewhere. And because of that, he didn't want anything to do with God, didn't want anything to do with the preacher. He didn't care about God. And I asked him one night, I said, can you do me a favor? He said, yeah. I said, just keep coming like you're coming. Keep coming every week. Just keep coming. About 5 months into this, we used to meet in the cafeteria. There's probably, a 3x3 stainless steel table, and off of it is 4 stainless steel seats where they sit. And I used to have church in there. And so he kept coming. And I forget what I was preaching on one night. I was preaching away. And I looked. And on the stainless steel table, he was sitting with his head down. And there was a puddle of tears on the table. And the hard heart, the Word of God, it took 4 or 5 months for the Word of God to break that hard heart. He ended up getting saved, gave me a hug after the service, and I said, God, you got him. You got him. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to be faithful. Be faithful in prayer. Each one of us has friends. We have relatives that aren't saved, right? And that's what's going on in our church. We're trying to give out all of these gospel tracts. We're trying to get people to come into church so that Brother Schwenke can preach to them and that they get saved, right? This is what happens. You gotta just stay faithful. When do you quit? Never. Just keep on keeping on. Don't quit. Amen? Don't quit. Why? Why shouldn't we quit? Because the stakes are so high. What if I copped an attitude with that guy the first day he come in, told him, I don't want you in here no more, get out. He wouldn't have got saved. It would have been another rung on the ladder of anti-Christianity for him. So we have to sometimes swallow our pride and work the best we can with what we got. The good thing is we got the power. We got everything we need. All we got to do is just let them have it. Where they land. The seeds, they land there, the birds get them. They land over here, they mature. Amen? Well, let's move on. Verse number 5 and 6. It says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The Middle East is very rocky, very ledgy, and a lot of the ground in the Middle East is sometimes you only have that much topsoil, and I don't know if you realize how deep some roots go. I found this in my garden; they grow deep. I had last week I was doing something out back, and I had a bush that was aggravating me probably for 6 years. This big bush, it looked like, I don't know what it, I couldn't even tell you what it was, but I know there was, it was, had flowers, white flowers on it, and I hated that thing. Every time I drive by it, something would come out and sting me or bite me. And I'm like, oh, I got to get rid of this thing. So last year, my pear tree fell over in a storm and it landed right in the middle of that bush. And I said, well, I hated to see my pear tree go, but I said, praise the Lord. Got the chainsaw out and bucked it all up. And all of the limbs I put on that bush. And I said, there, take that bush. Put them on there, and I let it sit probably for 3 months. And then this spring, I poured some diesel fuel and gas on it. Poof, up it went. All that was left was these little stubs of the bush. I said, good, it's gone. And then I'm thinking, I got to get rid of that stub. I said, well, maybe I can hit it with the lawnmower. But I went over and checked it. Man, this thing was tough. Anyway, it took me 2.5 hours to pull it out with my pickup. And there was three different little bushes in there. And it had roots that went down. They were like fingers. And I got a chain hook to this, and I'm tugging on it with my pickup. And this thing isn't moving. I said, well, I'll fix you. And I give it a little slack, and boom, out one came. And when I saw it, I said, no wonder it was so hard. But if you don't have good roots, when the troubled times come, you're going to fall over, you see? So I say that to say this, is that little bush had good roots. I mean, they were unbelievable for the size of the bush. And we as Christians need to have good roots. Amen? A lot of problems is with Christians is they start good. Right? It's not how we start, it's how we end. If to have a good ending is better to have a good beginning, right? That's just the way it is. So you got to end good, not start good. The perfect scenario would be to start good and follow all the way through and then you end up good, right? The problem here is that because of their poor roots in verse 6, when the sun was up, they got scorched and they didn't have any root, and all of a sudden they withered away. How many times have you seen somebody come into church and they start off good and then all of a sudden, poof, they're a flash in the pan. Where'd they go? We don't know. All right, next thing we're going to look at is number 7. Some fell upon thorns and the thorns sprung up and choked them out. So verse number 7, we're talking about a weedy place, seeds among the thorns. So as Doug and Kenny go and sow in their garden here, in the Middle East, again, they didn't dig the dirt up. They just threw the seeds out. And the weeds and the thistles and the thorns in the middle of them was the wheat. And sometimes what happens is the other things overtake them and they squish out the wheat so that you don't have any fruit. And that happens to Christians too, doesn't it? They get tangled up with the world and they go back where they shouldn't be and they get back into the same old, and it doesn't work. What did Jesus say? Come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord. Fight the good fight. It takes work to do it. Amen? All right. And then finally, this is the one we want. Verse number 8. And others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And then here's that verse, the end of this verse. It says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, what do we need to be? We need to have faith. Don't be faithless. We need to have a love for God. Love your Lord. Amen? If Christ is really your Lord, love him. I love my wife. We got a sign over there. I love her. I do things for her, I usually I'm up before her, and I try to make her coffee for her. And I try to be a helper to her. I try to make her life a little bit easier. And Christ wants us to do things for him. So if coming out of your comfort zone forget where I put them. I got them somewhere. I got tracks. Anyway, coming out of your comfort zone and giving somebody a track, can't you do that for Jesus? Amen? You know, sometimes it's just giving somebody a smile, you know? Yesterday was my food pantry day, and it's great. I love it. I have such a blast because I get to talk to people. And I had a guy yesterday. I said, "How you doing?" I said, "Well, it's sunny out, blah, 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 blah." He said, "Nah, nah, nah." I says, "God loves you anyway, even if you're having a bad day." "Yeah," he says, "yeah." "Huh." Went on to the next car. Listen. Get over the circumstances, get over the situations, get over your flesh, and just get with God and do it his way. Amen. All right. In conclusion, Matthew chapter 5. Go back a couple chapters here. Matthew chapter 5. I got to get a drink. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 17. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be put trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen? So God wants us to be a light to the world. He wants you to be salt. We were at somebody's house yesterday and they had cooked steak. And I'm like, "Oh, cut a piece and ate it." I said, "Ah, this is pretty good steak." And then I start scouting around. I'm looking. I said to Linda, "Where's the salt?" And then I put salt on it. And it was like, "Phew, oh, this is real good steak." But that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be the salt of the world. He wants us to be light that shines into darkness. Amen? So I trust this was a blessing to you. It's probably things that you've already heard. But listen, we're getting ready to have evangelistic meetings. Grab some tracks on your way out. Hand them out. I'll tell you, those smiley tracks are the bomb. Just say, "Hey, I got a smile for you." "Oh, yeah, I'll take a smile." And they take it. I was getting people with them. I said, "Hey, I got a smile for you." I says, "Smile for a smile. What do you mean?" I says, "Here, you take my smile." I said, "Okay, now smile back at me." They smile back. I said, "Okay, have a blessed day." Boom, off I go. It's that simple, you know. So listen, be a blessing. Do what God wants you to do. And enjoy the ride because it's fun. It's fun to serve the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you want to use each and every one of us. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that has never come to you for salvation, I pray today that they would come and meet me down the bottom here at the front of the church and we could show them how to get saved. Listen, if you've been saved and sometimes we get apprehensive, Lord, help us to be more bold. Help us to pray for the upcoming meetings. Help us to take tracts and to pass them out. And Help us to be about your business. Where time is running short here on earth, and Lord, we have what they need. Help us to be able to share it as only you can have us to. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.